Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Oh, it's Tuesday night, and that can only mean one thing. You're locked in here with fantasypoints.com, Dynasty Points, your number one spot for Dynasty video content at fantasypoints.com. Today, a little bit different, doing something we have not done in a long time. Last time we did a mock draft, it was with the man, Pat Corain. Well, now we're doing it for the first time and only time before the big dance with the NFL draft at fantasypoints.com. We'll be covering not only live. We do the whole thing. We're going live reactions. We're doing an after party that is fantasy implications that will be hosted by ourselves over at Dynasty Points with a couple of rotating fantasy points analysts. You're going to want to hit the like and subscribe button if you are not already. It helps us out more than you know. I, of course, am your host with the most time on his hands. I am Thomas Tibble. You can find me at El Nostra Thomas over on the amateur porn site known as X.com. My fun fact for you today is in my two tours with Brett the Hitman Hart, I was lucky enough to take a good punch from the Canadian legend himself.
I'm Jacob Sanderson. Happy to be here today. My fun fact is that I looked through the history of the NFL draft, and it has not, of course, always been seven rounds. It's been several different rounds throughout the years. The most rounds there's ever been in NFL drafts was back in the 1940s, 32 rounds in the NFL draft. And that's how many rounds we're doing in our mock draft today. So.
Oh, goodness. All right. I'm Lucas Gilbert. My fun fact today is that out of the top five most streamed days ever on Spotify, Taylor Swift now owns all five of them. And two of them are her brand new album. So, you know, I've got to be listening to that all week. I'm going to see how many lyrics I can drop into this mock draft without trying too hard. But I'm not that creative, so some of it might be a little cheesy, but it's going to be fun.
Go ahead. I'm John Jansen. My fun fact, I'm changing it up here. I swore to these guys I was not going to talk about myself, but I saw the photo that you tweeted that was actually taken at the SiriusXM studio, and it's one that they use for all their promotional material. Unfortunately for yours truly, that photo was taken at 7:48 a.m. in New York City after I was out drinking, doing some partying until like 2 in the morning. So I look like dog shit, but that is my fact. Good evening, guys.
We love it. We appreciate you hopping in. We know, this is the first time since Dynasty Points was created that we've managed to get you. You're insanely busy. But this was an opportunity. We had just an absolute insane run of guests, and there was no better way, we felt, to cap it off but with the man himself. And today we're mock drafting. We have so many articles. We have ranks. We yards created came back. I mean, it's a one-of-a-kind piece. But the one thing missing from all of that content was a mock draft. And The people love them. We want to get the vibes. You're very well known as the Vibes King. there's a ton of data out there. Jacob and I have been participating in pre-NFL draft dynasty rookie drafts because we are truly degenerates and don't know any better.
Yeah.
So we're going to apply some of that today. We're going to dive right in it. We've been going for 4 to 5 minutes. We're going to take a quick break. When we get back, we are going to have the board up because we're fancy like that. Jacob is going to give us a quick rundown of how things are going to go. And I mean, kicking it off, there's no better way than Mr. John Hansen having 101. So sit back, sit tight, 5 second break. When we come back, it's draft time. Let's go.
Hello, Pantheon podcast listeners. Christian Swain here to tell you more about my experience with Raycon earbuds. Our family now has 3 pairs of Raycon earbuds around the house. And my wife just grabbed a pair of the Headphone Pros to replace some headphones from a company that was double the price. And yes, she loves them. Now, if you haven't pulled the trigger on a pair of Raycons, or even if you have, but you're in the market for another pair because they're just that good, well, now is the time to check them out. Because they just launched their upgraded model of the best-selling everyday earbuds. With Raycon's upgraded everyday earbuds, now you also get active noise cancellation, ergonomic design, and multi-point connectivity that lets you pair with 2 devices at once. New quick charge function, 3 customizable sound styles plus awareness mode, available in a variety of vibrant new colors to complement any and all skin tones. I even have a pair of earbuds in a cool green color. I have tried just about every earbud known to humankind, and these Raycons are fantastic. Seriously, if you've been wanting to check out Raycons, there truly is no better time. You're going to ask yourself why you didn't check them out sooner, and Raycon offers a 30-day happiness guarantee. So what are you waiting for? Go to buyraycon.com/pantheon today to get 20% off your Raycon order, plus free shipping. That's right. You'll get 20% off and free shipping at buyraycon.com/pantheon. buyraycon.com/pantheon.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Okay, so if I have the bells and whistles actually set up correctly, okay, like not like last time where we had to set up 3 different draft boards. If I have this done right, when I hit start draft, 8 picks aren't going to happen in like split seconds like it did last time. But I'm very confident.
Praying for you, man. Praying for you, bro.
Look, we're on clutch time here with the boss man in the building. Jacob, can you, for the people that may not have done one of these with us before, might be new to this sort of thing at Fantasy Points, kind of explain how this is going to go for all of us. And we are doing 2 rounds, and time depending on how we do with some of these breakdowns, we might squeeze in a 3rd round. But at the least, we're going to do 3rd round sleepers and some vibe favorites from what we've learned. So explain that for the people that are here.
Well, it's going to be your standard rookie draft, except, you know, there's 4 of us instead of 12 of us. So each of us are going to make 3 picks per round. We have reached out to the excellent sponsor of the program, wheelofnames.com. I spun the Wheel of Names just about 2 minutes before we went live here. And according to the wheel, that means that Mr. John Hansen will be picking first. He'll also be picking 5th and 9th, etc. I'll be picking 2nd. Lucas will be picking 3rd. And the host with the most time on his hands will be picking at the 4 spot. This is a super flex tight end premium rookie draft. So, you know, basically all the content that we tend to cover week to week on Dynasty Points for Superflex Dynasty. We don't have imaginary rosters. So this kind of just comes down to who we prefer in a vacuum. Obviously, in your rookie draft, you probably have more specific team needs and teams wants. There will also be no trading in this mock draft. So you're on the clock, you pick your favorite player, and we move along.
So you're telling me that if it's an 8-hour draft timer, and I've already been on the clock for 7.5 hours, I can't then put my pick on the clock and look for trades. Is that what you're telling? Okay. No. All right. I will.
We had a situation in a league that I did just yesterday where someone got timed out, came back in, and the commissioner This is Dave Kluge, who's the commissioner in this league. Shout out
to him
for the innovation. He said, okay, I'll let you continue to pick once your time has moved out. I'm not going to auto pick you. But if the next person picks while you're still making up your mind and sorting through trades, they can skip you. And everyone after you can continue to skip you. So that'll be, if you take more than let's say a 15 second clock in today's draft.
I love that. Shout out Dave Kluge. That is truly innovative. We do need more of that because the waiting 8 hours to make a pick has gotten out of hands in a rookie draft. Honestly, I just want to shout out everyone here. CL with the good evening. Ace was in here way early with the Grifica. And then obviously TD fans since day one in the early full tilt days. I'm going to hit this button and everything is going to work the way that it was intended. No, it is not. Stop the draft.
Oh, Tom.
It's fine.
In the long lasting fight between Tom and technology, there continues to be a constant winner and a consistent.
Hey, we didn't lose. I'm going to say we took a draw. Because here we go. We're ready.
Tom, I'm also in that loser bracket, just FYI.
Hey, we're in this together.
Yeah, I'm still setting my lineup, though. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Hey, the best ball dynasty is not for me. You know what I mean? There's something to the painstaking decisions that you win and lose by.
Well, I can give you an interesting trivia. You know, I've been around so long that I literally... And it's sad because I've actually been technically online since I was 20 years old. I think that people, I'm talking the 80s. So I've literally been online since 1989. So that was when you had a dial-up with a floppy hard disk, and I was literally just connecting to Prodigy to pull in on a monochrome screen scores for my LA Dodgers on the West Coast. Because otherwise, you had to stay up till 2:30 in the morning SportsCenter to get a clue if they won or lost.
Wow. Yeah, that's truly amazing. We got... one. Mr. Smith caught live from Australia. Don't worry, we're going to do the hard yakka for you tonight.
Whoa.
Here on Dynasty Points. You are up, Mr. Hansen, the 1-1. There's been debate. There has been some discourse in Superflex rookie drafts that maybe it's not the quarterback. You let me know who you want in this spot. I'll put him in there, and the floor is yours.
Yeah, it's a deep quarterback class, but all these guys do have some issues. Caleb Williams is weird. Jaden Daniels is a very thin frame. I do. I'm with our guy Brett Whitefield, JJ McCarthy, but I also think it's a pretty relatively deep running back class. A lot of quantity, maybe not a ton of quality. Although Jonathan Brooks getting good word on that ACL. We all love Brock Bowers. If I could adopt Brock Bowers, I would, but I think he's past the age. So I think I do look at wide receiver here. Yeah, it is a deep class. We do have a couple potential studs, but I look at Marvin Harrison Jr. as the safest and probably the best bet to be a transcendent type of player in this league. I think Malik Nabers is right there, but some off the field concerns there a little bit. I'm going to go with the rock solid Marvin Harrison.
Okay, kicking off the draft, we are going with Marvin Harrison Jr. at one. Kind of a surprise pick. Look, Lucas knows me.
At number two, I'm running to the podium. I'm running.
Lucas knows me. I've been Marvin Harrison 101 for a while. And I mean, I'm getting the vibe now right here. So Jacob, you're obviously.
Yeah, it's a clear pick for me. I'm taking Caleb Williams. It's not a fun pick to talk about. You know, it's
certainly
a boring pick to make in a rookie draft. I don't have like a substantial gap between him and the rest of the guys in the top five tier for me, but it still is Caleb. You know, he's coming in not just in terms of the profile that we've talked about, you know, at length, especially in the episode we had Scott on, but the really reassuring thing is of all these quarterbacks and where they're going to go. Not only do I think he's the best prospect, but he's certainly coming into the best situation, right? He's going to have a staple of running backs. He has an improving offensive line. We've already got DJ Moore. We've already got Keenan Allen. We've already got Cole Kmet, and maybe even Aroma Dunze at the ninth pick. We'll see what happens there. So I think, you know, no quarterback is foolproof. That's for sure. But with the upside of the value in Superflex and some of the insulation of where he's coming into the NFL, I'm excited to make that pick here at the 102.
I will say I went into the combine, you know, kind of maybe expecting the worst. And I'm just trying to, like, you know, again, you know, I'm a little weird with this and I've been doing this forever. Like, size up the guy, see how he kind of interacts with, like, the underlings, you know, people who kind of take him around. You know, you can tell a lot about a person with how they treat underlings, if you will, for lack of a better term. And I will say, I absolutely got a good vibe. He was very gregarious walking around the media room for about an hour and a half. So I didn't speak with him one-on-one, but, you know, I was in his presence for a bit, and I did get a good vibe, a star vibe. I do think it could get a little ugly, but I also do think he could be a superstar. So I would have to lean towards superstar.
That's what I want to hear.
Yeah, they're weird. Like, he's weird. It's always the former scouts. Like, it's always a former scout that was let go that thinks he's, you know, weird, or he has a pink phone case, so he can't be a megastar.
Well, some people, you know, old school guys, let's be honest here, old school over 50-year-old dude, it's not going to be received well by that person when you know, you're crying on your mother's lap. I mean, let's be honest. It is what it is.
Yeah, it's definitely, you know, that's what I'm saying. It's always the former scout. It's not something you really hear from the current day scouts. So I always find that interesting. But Lucas, you're set up now. I mean, 1 and 2 in the pre-NFL draft rookie draft we're doing, or just did, Neighbors went before Harrison. So let's see what you got here, Lucas. Are you taking the quarterback, or are you playing it safe?
So with it looking like the Chicago Bears are indeed taking Caleb Williams first overall, I'm going to be down bad, crying at the gym, working to get that $100 for Jacob after losing the bet. It's pretty much all but written in stone.
Yeah.
103, I was really hoping there would be two quarterbacks off the board here to go Marvin Harrison Jr. I know, Tom, I think you already been in a draft where that's happened. So that's not the case. Had no realistic shot that Caleb Williams would be sitting here. And so it's down between Drake May and Jaden Daniels, really. A little bit of consideration from Malik Neighbors, but it's so tough to give up a quarterback in the top three, whenever it's this good of a class and a super flex. So I'm going with who I think has the highest overall ceiling. And that's going to be Mr. Drake May from North Carolina. I think that his floor is probably the lowest out of all of these quarterbacks, depending on where JJ McCarthy ends up going. But I also think that his ceiling is right up there with Caleb Williams. If he realizes everything that he can be, he has arguably the best arm talent in the class. He has more than enough athleticism. And if he's put in the right situation, I think he can really blossom. And doing this mock draft before the NFL draft, I'm going to be going with Drake May.
That's the only reason that I'm going to let that pass without a 5-minute long Tom-esque rant. That's it. He's going to be a Patriot. And if he's a Patriot, I'm so far out. It's not even funny, because that team just, it's not going to be great for development. But I will set your incorrect player here at 103. And I'm going to, like Jacob said, I'm going to run to the podium. I am going to take Malik Neighbors here. I understand that quarterbacks, they're the prize, they're everything. I just don't think that you're going to have to pay up for the Daniels JJ tier over these guys, and the tier break in receivers in this draft so far outweigh the tier breaks in quarterbacks for me. I'm running at 104. Please keep him away from the Chargers. I'm begging you. My family is begging you. Just take the offense. Take a running back at 5. I don't even care.
This is the worst take that's ever been uttered on this show.
It is not, Jacob,
wanting Malik Neighbors on the Chargers. Like, this is,
I want him nowhere near Greg Roman.
Now, I don't think we're actually going to take Malik Neighbors, so I don't think that we're ever going to get a chance to revisit this take. I think they're going to trade down or take Joe Alt or something. But if they do, like, this will be revisited. We're not wanting
horrendous
our receiver with probably like the first or the second or third number one pick of quarterback that you could possibly want a dynasty wide receiver tied to. It's a cold take. It's a freezing cold Winnipeg winter of a take.
Speaking of which, jaded.
Jets just scored. Go Jets, go.
Probably. That's what I heard all the way down from downtown. No, call me jaded. Call me beat up. Maybe it's PTSD. I don't know. But I don't want to watch Greg Roman design their fullback running nine routes while Malik Nabers is running a 2-yard hitch on the opposite side of the field that they're looking. I'm over that. Maybe it's not him designing the pass game. I don't know. He's going to ruin him. I don't want him to. Just keep him away. Keep him away, please. I'm just begging you. I'd rather see him as a Giant so Scott Barrett can at least be a little bit happy. Okay, we're back. We've gone through the first four. John, you are up. Let's see who you got here at 105.
Right. And for the record, you did take Nabers?
I did take Nabers.
Okay. Okay. I don't know why I was just, did you take him? Okay. So now it's like, you know, again, pardon me for being a little bit of a novice for this type of exercise. I guess maybe you guys are too, but you know, part of me wants to just go Brock Bowers.
Okay.
But I'm going to be left out in the cold here at quarterback. And it seems like quarterbacks are getting some love here. So,
but we're not building a team. Like we're not going to compare at the end of this. Like you're not trying to fill out a roster.
Okay.
So
right.
You're not losing any points if you don't have any of a given position. If you like quarterback more, take the quarterback. If you like Bowers more, take Bowers. Just take whatever you like more.
Well, you know, it's funny, you know, years and years ago in this business, this thing called like value-based drafting came and, you know, position scarcity and all that. And I understand that. I kind of like already do all these calculations in my head forever. So I don't really know how to classify it, but, oh, that's what you call it. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
But I used to always also just kind of default to a very dumbed down answer. Like what's your draft strategy? And sometimes the simplest answer is the best. It's like, I draft the best players. I draft really good players, basically. And from that perspective, when I consider the downside of a Jaden Daniels, if he can't stay in one piece, I do, again, like J.J. McCarthy a lot. I don't think a running back is worthy here. So I've already got my wide out as I build this team. So I am going to take Brock Bowers. I think he is the best player. I think he's going to stand out among his peers at his position. One of the best I've seen, you know, with the ball in his hands, but also has very good hands. You know, my thought when I saw him was Jordan Reed. I don't know if anybody else went there with Jordan Reed has some big ass seasons there for DC. So let's bring in Brock Bowers.
No, I like the pick. He's obviously Jacobs is that's his dynasty tight end one. I can't get there, but
I would have taken him if I had the 105 over Daniels as well. So I'm
glad
that he comes off the board right ahead of me.
Yeah,
I've got him at 5, I believe, on my list. 4 or 5.
I do as well. I got him at 5. Yeah.
Yeah, he is my number 5 currently as well. I think that's pretty established considering like right, we said this is super flex tight end premium PPR type stuff. So in every single one of those drafts, I am expecting Brock Bowers at 5 or 6. Like there's really only like one doom spot that I would feel unhappy taking him there, and it's with the Colts. So I mean that's Chargers? A spot. No, I want him there with Greg Roman. Are you kidding me? He would be like 1-2 in a tight end premium with Greg Roman.
Brock Bowers. Everyone knows about Brock Bowers, like I said at this point, but we all know they were playing for the Natty. But how about 13 touchdowns as a freshman at tight end? I mean, come on.
Truly disgusting. Jacob, you're up. Next up is the 1-6.
Well, I mean, this is probably the one guy of the top 8 that I'm lower on compared to the consensus. But of course, that's because the consensus currently has him as the 104, and I'm getting him at the 106. So hard to complain about that. I'll take Jaden Daniels. You know, it's not, I have some concerns about him as a real life prospect. And we went into that a lot on the Scott show. If people want to go check out me and him really debating on Daniels for a while. But the one thing that is undeniable is that for as long as he starts in the NFL, he's going to score fantasy points because he's going to run for a whole bunch of yards. And that matters. And that probably means historically in Dynasty that you're going to get a peak at his rookie year where as long as he stays healthy and he runs and he scores fantasy points, you're probably not going to see a value loss right away. And then you get to decide after that year if you think that's an asset you want to hold on to or whether you want to try and move that into something else. So especially when you get in here after, you know, I see like 4 true blue chip prospects in this draft. They're all gone here. So give me Jaden Daniels and swing for the fences.
One thing I talk about with quarterbacks, I have been for a little while, is what I call invisible scouting. You know, those things you can't necessarily see with the naked eye unless you're really looking in close and like processing for a quarterback, and that is how Brock Purdy has gone from Mr. Relevant to like on the precipice of hoisting a Lombardi. And everything I've heard from people around the NFL think that Jaden Daniels is the best processor in this class. And you see that when you watch the tape, because he doesn't he only runs as a last resort, but man, he's decisive too. You know, so that tells me the guy can eliminate and isolate and process quickly, which is just massive in terms of his, you know, if he's to be successful. You know, Tom Brady, probably the ultimate processor. How did he go from a guy who I literally was more athletic than the greatest quarterback of all time? Processing. Unbelievable.
Right. I think that's becoming more and more evident how important it is, especially hearing all the stuff about, well, the NFL is not a coaching league, right? It's not a development league. You kind of go in with your skills and you have to kind of mature those skills a little bit on your own with a little bit of handholding. It's not a development type situation. So if he's already able to process that quickly now, the only thing I'll say with Jacob, he does not know how to avoid hits. That dude is jumping into linebackers. You're not going to get away with that. So we've always talked about how people say Lamar Jackson, Anthony Richardson, Justin Fields, they're all kind of the same and hurts because they run, but they all run differently. I'm going to be interested to see how his careless running style translate. I'm nervous. I have somebody ranked ahead of him that I'm hoping Lucas doesn't jump me to take here.
Oh, RG3, by the way, not good. I mean, he did not have a good clock in his head, and he got clocked quite a bit. And there are some comparisons there to Jaden Daniels.
Right. That's my fear. 100% my fear.
And yet, if you took RG3 in a rookie draft,
you're happy.
Year one, you're selling a good profit.
Yeah. Like, yeah.
You just got to sell.
That's exactly what we always talk about, knowing when to get out based on peripherals is the greatest tool that a dynasty player can have in his belt. Lucas.
So I'm sitting here at the 107, and I have a real dilemma on my hands, especially pre-NFL draft. It's kind of altering my thought process just a little bit. I know through the last 6 years of data that any quarterback drafted in the first round, he does not lose value. No single first-round quarterback has lost more than 3 spots of positional value in your dynasty superflex leagues. So J.J. McCarthy here is definitely the safest choice and is who I'm going to go with.
Get out of here.
I really gave a good, strong look at Rome Odunze. My only issue is that I feel like the expectations are going to be too high on him coming into the league.
Lucas is losing the mock draft so far, by the way.
It happens. Lost my $100, lost my mock draft. You know, I'm crying and I'm not productive. So, once again, not like Taylor Swift, but that's okay. But my only thing with Rome Odunze is I just don't think that he's going to be able to meet production. And without knowing anything else about his situation, and I do have him a tier below Malik Nabers and Marvin Harrison Jr., he's just not worth the risk to me right here. I'm much rather go safe with somebody who I know is going to return value for me. So J.J. McCarthy at 107.
Right. Now the rest, look, we have some great comments in the chat. We are going to hit them at the end of this first round. We're going to come back and hit all that because we love and appreciate everybody who's watching. And if you haven't, hit the like and the sub button. It helps us more than you know. And it's free. So what's not to love about that? I hate that you just took J.J. McCarthy because I wanted him in this spot. I have McCarthy ranked ahead of May. I have him ranked ahead of
points people on the McCarthy. It's like this. It's like a cult.
You know what it is, guys? It's the new era of McCarthyism. Okay, we're spreading the propaganda. Okay,
it is.
You know what it is?
Yeah, I know. I feel attacked. I feel like I'm not going to be able to get a security clearance if I don't get and rank in my top 3 quarterbacks.
You don't want to be blackballed if you're not in.
J. Robert Oppenheimer are the lone people resisting.
No, you know what it is? I'm fully bought in on everything I've heard about Minnesota falling in love with them, and that they're willing to move up. And the best part is about this being a pre-NFL draft ranking of what my ranks are for that is that the second that draft is over, I get to change it if I'm wrong. So you're never wrong, just early. So this is going to be the process with that. I'm afraid of May's development anywhere, but like if he lands in New England like I'm expecting, it's Jover. It's so Jover for him. It's insane. So I want to avoid New England quarterbacks.
You guys saw in the prospect.
Yeah, you got to avoid New England quarterbacks, the place that drafted the greatest quarterback of all time.
Okay, let's move on from that. You sound like you're a Boston homer yourself.
No, well, okay.
Calling into the radio every day, talking about how every quarterback's the next guy.
Let's avoid Justin Herbert's wide receivers. Let's avoid New England quarterbacks. Like,
you guys see the JJ McCarthy comparison by Brett in the prospect guide? The two comps he had?
I think Elway, right? If I remember correctly, Elway was one.
John Elway and a little Rich Gannon.
Right.
And Rich Gannon is a friend of mine. I've known him for 20 years. I've spent 10, 15 hours talking quarterbacks with Rich Gannon at like dinners at the combine. And, you know, my son went to Delaware. He's from Philly. I see him at the beach. I mean, so I know Rich Gannon, okay? The guy is a very, very, very hard grader of quarterbacks. So when I saw that, of course, I had to text Rich and run it up the flagpole. I said, Rich, do you agree with this assessment that JJ McCarthy has got some Rich Gannon? And only a two-word reply, absolutely, brother. So if Rich Gannon's signing off, FYI, it probably means that JJ McCarthy's good.
Hey, all I'm saying with McCarthy is I'm fully expecting him to be a Viking. You put him in KOC system and it's going to be lights out, okay? Anything outside of that, and I'm going to be completely rethinking my ranks. I'm committed to that idea. I'm thinking it into existence. I'm manifesting it.
Yeah.
Right? TikTok told me I can manifest things and they'll happen for me. That's what's going to happen for me. So I'm obviously left here with Rome. I don't have a lot to say about Rome. I was very low on him at the beginning of this process, and I'm kind of coming around. I've gotten to read some reports, see some things. People have said that he is a lot like A.J. Brown, but runs cleaner routes here out of college. Now, I don't think that he's going to produce like A.J. Brown because only a handful of elite players can do that. But you're talking about at the 1-8 how deep this class is. I'm going to take Rome there. So it's back to you, Jacob. Now, this is where people say the draft really begins. Oh, right. John's 1-1. I apologize. Yeah. This is where people say the draft really begins.
Yeah, that's a great point, too, because I'm looking here and, no one's taking a running back yet, correct?
Right? Correct.
So we're open there. I've already got a tight end, so I'm good to go there. I've even got my wide receiver 1, so I'm going to go BPA. I'm going to go with one of my favorites. I'm going to go with a guy that – among some of these second, third tier guys, I think, talking to some people, there are some questions about whether or not some of our favorites, by the way, like Ricky Pearsall, can consistently play outside and win. I think he can, but there are fewer questions with the guy that I'm going to take, and this might be a little early, but he's a good lad, okay? I'm going to take him, bring him into the fold, Ladd McConkey. Is on Team Gurific because I watched him line up outside at the Senior Bowl. Footwork was like a cat off the line. I think he can do it in the NFL. Obviously, he can play in the slot. Interviewed him on the radio. He's a great dude. I'm in. I'm in on Ladd McConkey. That the narrative that he's good, I am a believer, and I'm a full endorsement.
Seen him mocked anywhere in the late 20s in the first round to the mid second, but landing spot is definitely going to be a thing. Obviously, his overall production, not the greatest, but his per route numbers are very good.
I think it's a very, very
solid,
very safe floor here.
Right.
There's no doubt about it. It's a little bit of a reach, but I've always subscribed to the theory that, you know, this is supposed to be fun and, you know, we take our guys, you know, like I'm a McConkey guy and I'm putting my money where my mouth is.
Who do you think will be the best Mick in this draft? McConkey or
McCarthy? Whoa. It's gotta be Ladd. I mean, he also got the badass name theory going. I mean, when you're rolling with Ladd with two D's your whole life and you're balling, that's supreme confidence.
That is peak vibe analysis is exactly what we were hoping for. Jacob,
great
you
vibe
are
on that kid. Great vibe.
Love that. We got the stamp of approval.
I'm already going to go against my rankings here because
traitor.
I already took one of the players. I'm a little lower on the consensus. And you know, there's the guy who's kind of been the 109 by default in a lot of drafts, and he's still there. And I have him at the top of tier 2. But I'm just not a big fan. So I'm going to take a guy that I actually like because we're doing it for fun. And I'm going to take Trey Benson. I'm going to break the running back seal. And I'm going to take a gamble here that we get to Friday night, and when we're coming for the post-game show after Friday, the lead story is how Trey Benson is the starting running back for one of these teams, the Dallas Cowboys or the Chargers, mm-hmm. or one of these sexy landing spots. And all of a sudden now we've got this 6 foot, 216, 4.39 running force, you know, who's pacing the class and elusive rating and breakaway rate and explosive run rate. And I know we've talked about some of the issues, his vision, decisiveness, all that stuff's for the past episodes, all that stuff's for the deep dives. At this point, if this guy gets round two draft capital and we're talking about the level of athletic specimen that he is and the home run hitter he can be, then I think he ends up asserting himself as that clear cut pick after that top tier of eight guys. So I'm going to take the gamble that Trey Benson hears his name called in a favorable way this weekend.
I like that. I like that a lot. Lucas, this is where you get to make your money. Mr. Devy guy over here. Who is it? Because this is where you guys really claim to be able to shine. So let's see what you got here up next at the 111.
So because Jacob took a running back, he has now given me carte blanche to not take Brian Thomas Jr. And that makes me feel wonderful. So I'm not going that way. I am going to take somebody and try and mess up Tom a little bit here, but also get somebody who I really like. And I'm going with Jonathan Brooks as the 111 because I knew exactly what that was going to do. If he didn't tear his ACL, I feel like we would have had nine players that fantasy managers would have been really, really happy about at the start of the first round. Everybody's saying that his ACL should be on track at the end or at the beginning of August. So that gives him some time. He's going to start off the season a little slow, but he looked so good. He has really good vision. A little concerned that he might not have that home run threat that some people think coming out of college. Just some of the advanced metrics aren't there to support, but he is a very solid running back, can do stuff in the passing game out of the backfield. So I'm really happy with that. And just getting Tom's reaction makes it even more worth it. So 111, Jonathan Brooks.
You traded your integrity for the rib. And I think we might have to talk further on your continuation on this program for doing that. The thing with Brooks is I just want to point out Brett Whitefield has him at a 77.6 out of 100 for his RB5 right now based on his film grade. But if you listen to the film versus analytics on the Fantasy Points YouTube channel right now, we're talking about a guy who had 142.1 yards from scrimmage per game in his 10 games. He, as Scott mentioned, was close enough to Bijan Robinson's production to have Scott put him in his number one spot. I was very much hoping to not have to take a receiver here, and I'm not going to. I'm not going to. Oh, wow. I have the over. You like that segue right there? That's pro style. I have the over on first round quarterbacks. I know Jacob's favorite is to not have the over. You're smashing the under. But everything that I'm understanding, listening to our guys and just the general feel is that five of these guys are going for sure. So I'm going to take the guy I think is going to be a Raider. And I'm going to go ahead and take Michael Penix. Now, I will mention that this is not a pick that I feel happy about in terms of what I think he's going to be at the next level. This is purely value-based drafting based on what I think is going to happen. Like Lucas mentioned, quarterbacks don't at all, if not often, fall. If they get on the field, they gain value. People took a big giant turd on Will Levis last year. Will Levis is up to a seventh round pick already in startups right now, according to DynastyDataLab.com. That is massive if you can sell to that value or even hold if you think he's going to be really good. First round quarterback, I think he's a Raider. That's a vibe. That's a gut feeling. So before we get going back to you, John, I just want to look at some of the look, we got people in the chat. CL, big fan. I like this from Sean. Daniels runs like someone will kill his family if he doesn't get slammed by a linebacker. I really feel like CL wants to know if someone can tell Kenny Pickett to start playing football. I think that's, you know, that's brilliant.
He will. Also, he will.
Spencer.
By the way, real quick on Pickett. I'm a Pickett person, but never said he was stud, by the way, before he took a snap in the NFL. My comp was Matt Hasselbeck, who I grossly overrated about 24 years ago and people hated me, and then he made a couple Pro Bowls. So we'll see about Pickett. We'll say this. I think it's a good sign that the Philadelphia Eagles signed him, because the Eagles pick up good players, in case we were wondering.
Okay. That is the most positive outlook I've seen on Baby Hands Pickett.
If you want a rerun on Kenny Pickett, you just drafted him.
Yeah. Okay. Easy.
I thought you were going to go JJ McCarthy, because that's the disparaging.
No, JJ McCarthy. I'm not as high as you guys, but I like McCarthy. To me, you can do everything that an NFL offense or at least one of these like McShanahan style offenses needs. And maybe a lot more than that. You know, I think the rest of it is a black box. But to me, he can clearly facilitate and be an efficient passer to the middle of the field. He has the athletic upside. Like I like McCarthy. Not as much as the other three quarterbacks, but I like McCarthy.
Penix,
I think, is total garbage.
That's fair. But I don't know if the NFL feels that way. So Sean says Penix is going to the Cowboys per the Bulletproof Discord. Hey, the last time I made like a quarterback statement in the Bulletproof Discord, it ended up being Jordan Love. I'm not going to plant that same flag here, but I'm just saying my track record's getting pretty good. If you guys want to leave a comment, have a question that you want us to answer, look, at the end of this round, if we got a question that you want answered, we're going to try to fit that in. Time pending, of course, but we are starting our last and final round here, the second round. So, Mr. Hansen, you are up with your first pick of the second round.
Guess I'm going zero QB here, and I'm going to let it's not necessarily an efficient draft.
Well, Bo Nix?
Oh, no, I can't do it. It's not an efficient draft here, leaving Brian Thomas. I'm not a huge Brian Thomas person, mm-hmm. but I'm also not dumb. I mean, the guy can run like a deer, and he's massive. But I already do have a couple of receivers. For the record, I took Ladd McConkey a little early, thinking I could steal Brooks here. So good pick there. I was with Jacob there with Team Benson to the Cowboys for 2 months. But now that we've gotten close, people, I'm hearing that the Cowboys love Brooks and that the ACL is clean. So he could be a Cowboy here. So, but that said, he's off the board. I'll go Blake Corum here to just balance it out. I like having a little balance. If I'm going to have a hole, let it be quarterback. But I think Corum is going to be a little bit better than he showed, I guess, early in the year when he was still not maybe 100%. I think you're looking at – I love the shorter, low-to-the-ground guys. Vision, acceleration, a little make you miss, probably untapped potential in the passing game. You know, just an old-school, kind of a no-frills guy, but it'll be sexy enough if he goes and gets 250 touches a year, which I think he should right out of the gate.
Okay,
I really resent being forced to just take all these LSU players I don't like way after ADP. It's not a very fun way to draft, but I don't think I have a choice here, right? Like, no. Brian Thomas is the ADP 109. I'm sitting here at the 202, and there's not anybody else I like more. So I'll take Brian Thomas, and then I'll talk about why I think he's not good. he was a guy that I liked a lot actually during the college season.
Yeah,
in large part because I hadn't really dug that far into the data profiles yet, and I'm watching this LSU offense every week, and I came away just really impressed with him as a ball winner, with him as a downfield separator, as a guy who I think has the twitch to not just run downfield routes, but to break off and succeed as a comeback route, on the dig route. So I like some aspects of Thomas's game. My concern just comes down to, 18% targets per route run as a year two player, 19% targets per route run as a year three player. That's not really the range of where we want NFL prospects to be living that are going to have a big fantasy value. And his profile is really, really buoyed by his efficiency rather than his target earning in year three. And, I think that it matters, but you look at year two, right? Like I said, 18% targets per route run, pretty similar volume earning profile, pretty similar offensive situation, and his yards per route run was 1.36 compared to 2.61. So, it's not a guy who's been consistently efficient. It's a guy who had a big spike year, and this is the kind of profile that is danger in round one. But all that being said, we're getting a little bit of a cushion here, taking him into the early second round rather than where I think you'll actually have to take him in rookie drafts, which is in the late first.
Right. I think the NFL team's going to fall in love with him, hoping that they could you know, I can fix him kind of mentality and really capture that lightning in a bottle. I think he's just a Jalen Guyton-esque wind sprinting route runner downfield that I'm okay not having. So I'm with you on that. There's just so many flags in this. But again, on film versus analytics, Brett Whitefield, Scott Barrett, they talk all the time about how if you're a film guy, you love the class. If you're a true analytics degenerate, you can't stand this wide receiver class. So very interesting, differing opinions. Back to the Devy guy for the next pick. Who are you going to try to mess with my mental health with on this pick?
Well, I don't think I can here, just because looking at the next four wide receivers on the board, I know you're not particularly high on any of them. Don't really feel like the value's here at this point to take another running back. But I am looking at these wide receivers, and because we're just having fun here, I'm going to go with, I think, one of the more unique profiles in the entire class. And I'm going to go with Xavier Worthy at 203.
Son of a...
Just because I just love how unique his profile is. We haven't really seen another player like Xavier Worthy come out yet. Somebody who absolutely dominated as a freshman and then didn't really improve upon it ever, but then goes, has a dominant combine, just wicked fast. Although I'm seeing some of his real analytics scores or real athletic scores aren't as high as you were expecting on film. I think he only tops out at 21.5 miles per hour, only 21.5 miles per hour, but he's still just super fast. We can see that he can get open. Yes, he struggles with press coverage. Yes, you are going to have to scheme him open touches, but I think that if you get him into the right system, he has a chance to absolutely blow up as a rookie. I don't think, it's definitely not going to be safe. There's going to be some weeks that you are really, really sad, but then there's going to be other weeks I feel like that he's just going to blow the top off of defense, and it's going to be a lot of fun. And didn't even intend to do it, but it's always fun to make Tom mad. So Xavier Worthy.
It's driving me insane. I have this stuff. I have all this stuff on one of the four monitors I have pulled up with the player that I'm expecting to be able to pick. And every time now I've had to make a pivot and stall for time for half a second as fluently as I can. But I will say this with Worthy. You're getting him here at the 2-3. He can't be any worse than what Jameson Williams is for the Lions. And you had to take him very early. So if you're talking about even a gadgety-esque player, you're getting Boom Weeks from, I think he's there. I think there's a lot more to his profile than people give him credit for. Also, I know Brett Whitefield is big on he can't track the ball. Well, Quinn Ewers can't throw a ball very deep. So I was talking about this last night with a group of friends, and we were discussing that maybe Quinn Ewers sucks at throwing a deep ball and Worthy sucks at tracking it. One thing's for sure, they both suck enough at doing it that it is hard to point the finger at the other. So I think you've got a great steal with that at 2-3. I just now I have to heavy pivot here and I don't like it.
I love at 2-3 right now. You were getting him in the same place that you were getting your Rondale Morris a couple of years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel infinitely better about Xavier Worthy than I ever did about Rondale Moore. So I just feel like it's a win. I'm just happy.
Well, 2-3, you're looking at the Rondale Moore, Trey Sermon, right, dynasty pick where that guy gets really exactly where somebody gets really steamed up and they move up. I'm mad right now because I was able to get some of these backs here in the second round of the draft that Jacob and I did, and now I have to pivot again off
where
that.
Were you guys taking real quick, where were you guys, because I'm not a huge dynasty person, but where were you guys taking Rashad White that rookie year? Because I took him at 1.08 and people said I was insane, but it was that high?
That's at ADP. He was usually going in the early second, and you'd sometimes sneak into the very late first.
Okay. Right. Run 112, 202 was kind of his path. But, I mean, everything, like you said, everything ended up working out there with Fournette just absolutely dusting off of a cliff.
From what I recall, it was like there was all the first-round wide receivers. There was like five or six of them that year, plus Hall and Walker and Pickett were kind of the like top nine or so, and then you get like Pickens and Sky were in that mix. And once kind of that group went, then it was usually like Wyatt,
yeah, okay,
or Cook, or
yeah, whoever your favorite was at that time. He definitely wasn't getting Trey Sermon, and that's for sure. For me, I'm going to avoid running back here, just because my favorite ones at this spot are gone, and I am not Trey Sermoning myself here with this draft. I am going to go with someone that the chat was mentioning. We are going to go with Troy Franklin. Quinton Finske is always up in here in the fantasy points chats. I'm agreeing with you. I'm going to take him mostly because I think Keon Coleman is not good at football. I think he's really bad. And A.D. Mitchell has so many concerns, even though his talent is very much there. I'm going to pass that, and I am going to do something that we talk on the show that I don't like to do a lot. I am going to say, like, well, this player is an outlier. Maybe Franklin can be too. I'm looking at Tank Dell. I'm looking at Franklin, and I am praying that the size doesn't matter. His route running ability, averaging 3.19 yards per route run from the perimeter, where he did run 85% of his routes. This is, of course, according to Scott Barrett's article up there now at fantasypoints.com for his wide receiver ranks. I love that. You're getting that kind of outside possibility. He is not a slot-in only type player. And the difference between he and Worthy is, I think, his deep route running ability. Worthy has the speed, so it's presumed he's a good deep threat. That's not quite the case for him, whereas Franklin does have the speed and is a much better true deep threat. I think they're kind of the same player. I just think Franklin's the better wide receiver of the two. So where you might have sniped me and knocked me off my pedestal a little bit, Lucas, nah, not today.
Did you guys hear about how he had the flu when he worked out at the combine?
Yeah, I think as soon as you weigh in a little lighter, that's the first thing I'm going to, yeah, because no one can prove it.
Yeah.
My thing is with it, the flu thing, and I heard it too. Then run it your pro day, buddy. You know, like you want to come up with the flu. Oh, I had the flu. You know, that's why I was downweighted. See, I'm actually 181 at my pro day. Well, then run. You know, that's my rule. If you want your weight to count, run the 40. If you don't run the 40, I'm disregarding your weight and I'm disregarding your flu talk.
Right.
Well, I don't want to throw anyone under the bus because I interviewed Troy Franklin. He's a very nice young man. But that flu thing struck me because I just found that out a couple of days ago, because guess who got sick after the combine? This guy right here.
Oh, we have poor Larry.
I think there's a chance that Troy Franklin gave me the flu, but that's, yeah, it's neither here nor there. It's all good. I won't hold it against him.
Question, John, does this make you like him more because maybe he'd be a tenth of a second faster if he was healthy, or less because he tried to kill you?
Yeah, right. I'm not holding that against him. Like I said, he was a very nice guy. I liked him, a good vibe. Now, I will say this too, and not to throw him under the bus again, but let's jot this note down. If Troy Franklin doesn't pan out, I can already tell you why. It's simply a lack of play strength playing through contact. So that's the litmus test. I think that's a little blind spot that a lot of people in the fantasy community have. I've had it myself, but I've learned from people, you know, talking to real coaches and, you know, it's one of the little small little nuances that, you know, like, oh, you know, doesn't have a great play strength. Okay. Well, he's fine. I'll run by everybody. Well, a lot of times that precludes guys from being on the field when they're not playing through contact. So again, if Franklin doesn't hit, I think that will be why, and we'll chalk it up as a lesson learned.
I think that's fair. And like I said, him and Worthy are so similar. You just said everything that Brett Whitefield said about Xavier Worthy as well. So, struggles through contact. His hands get a little loosey around the ball. I get it. I mean, but the thing I like about Franklin is that he is kind of experienced as the outside guy. So I'm not totally worried about the yak for him after contact. So
smart kid, though. Smart guy. I mean, yeah. I kind of like a little bit of a savant vibe, honestly, from him, like in terms of like football stuff. So bright guy. That's good.
Love that. Well, as it so happens to be, you're back on the clock here. Your favorite player at this spot for you in a vacuum. Who do you have? This is where the people really love to see what you got in terms of sleeper vibes.
You're talking to me, correct?
Yes, sir.
All right. Well, I mean, I do like Marshawn Lloyd. widely considered the best third down back. Certainly needs to be in a certain scheme area. He's a little bit of a bouncer. You know who I really like is, and I chopped it up with him, and he's an old soul kind of a kid, Will Shipley.
Yes.
He's got a little sneaky three down skill set there. Another really bright guy. But I can't pass up the best vibes that I've been lucky enough to interview probably a couple hundred. I've been going to combine for 20 years. I get usually about 20, 25 a year. One of the best vibes of all time. I have this term when I talk about receivers who can separate, I call them separatists. I'm a separatist. I called him a separatist and he loved it. He said he was going to steal it. I'm like, it's all yours, Ricky Pearsall. I mean, I'm thinking we need another Ricky. when I was a kid, you know, Ricky Henderson was the king, you know, and into my adulthood, and that was great. And then we transitioned into Ricky Williams. That was a barrel of laughs. It's been a while since we've gone just one name Ricky. So I think Ricky Pearsall is going to be the next guy that we're just like Ricky, just Ricky.
I love it. There, he's getting chalked up. Like, this is a player that people thought was maybe a sleeper this year, and he is moving. Obviously, his spot could push him at the 2-1, which I know is the most kryptonite pick in Dynasty rookie history. It is just statistically the worst pick ever in terms of hit rate at 2-1.
Good test your vibes. Make a mental note. Revisit, put a note in your phone in for 3 years and put that I said I guarantee that Ricky Pearsall will be good. I'm not saying he's going to be a superstar, but I'm saying he's going to be good.
Locked in. That's a terrific guarantee right there. That's what that is. Jacob?
I mean, this is really aggravating. Every single time I come on the clock, there's one clear value pick, and it's every time. It's like my least favorite players in this class. So I'm debating whether I just keep scooping ADP value all night or whether I try to have some fun with this. And
you've already threw it to your ranks. So just.
Yeah, I don't know if there's anyone else that I really like more is the thing. I think this actually is the player I like the most, unfortunately. So I'm going to take AD Mitchell. Boring pick here. But at the 206, I mean, we're getting a wide receiver that I would say is like 90% locked to go on Thursday night in the first round of the NFL draft. And you know, you look at the landing spots available. I mean, Tom here has been our landing spot correspondent all night long. And you look at all the available opportunities of a wide receiver being drafted in the mid to late first. It's Jacksonville, it's Cincinnati, it's Dallas, it's Kansas City, it's Buffalo. Like, all of these are the really fun locations for fantasy wide receivers. So I think that there's an opportunity here where, you know, some people of the film community, you know, Matt Harmon, for instance, in his charting, really, really liked Mitchell's ability to play X wide receiver. If he gets into one of those spots and that take turns out to be correct, then you have a lot of fantasy upside. I'm dubious of the lack of efficiency that he showed. I'm dubious of the lack of the volume that he earned. But this level of athletic profile and draft capital at the 206, I guess, sure.
I guess, sure, says Lucas.
Oh, goodness. I mean, I think
you better stand on business for your boy, or I'm calling you out for it every day for the rest of this year.
So
stand on business, you coward.
I'm thinking about pulling out some game theory here. And I know that Tom will definitely not take Mr. Keon Coleman.
I don't
think that he will go in between my pick right now and my next pick. So I'm thinking about just
this type of theorizing works better if you keep that thought to yourself, right?
I know, but
daring us to take him.
But the way that you all have talked about him in the past, I don't know if you can like swallow your throw up as you're making that pick.
Lucas, all I've done all night is take wide receiver and don't like four picks past ADP. Like, don't think I won't do it again.
All right. You know what? I'll take my guy. I'll get bullied into it a little bit. I really do like Keon Coleman. It's just I watch him on film, and you can so very clearly see the potential there for a true alpha wide receiver to emerge. He has all of the makings for it. He just hasn't consistently put it together. And I don't know if really hoping for him to do it in the NFL is a realistic thing. Tom, you were mentioning earlier, they don't develop people in the NFL. It's not a developmental league. You have to go in there. they're going to do what they can with what you have. And mm-hmm. if you don't do it on your own, then it's not coming around. So I really do like Keelan Coleman. I love the upside. And I think it's for dynasty managers, you look at the past, what, 5-6 picks, and you see all of these wide receivers going. All of these wide receivers have some really nice highlights in their profiles, but they also are not even close to a complete prospect. But it is opening up these opportunities for you all to pick up value along the way, plus just draft based off of who you like the most there, and don't worry about what the ADP is starting in the second round. Get the guys you like, because the community at large is all over the map about how they want to value them. I think that A.D. Mitchell will probably end up going a little earlier just based off of his draft capital. Same with Brian Thomas. We'll see. I think that Ricky Pearsall could very well end up going in the 201, 202. But so much of this is draft capital based. But right now, before the NFL tells us what they think of them, all of these wide receivers are getting nice and bunched up together. All of them have reasons to be really like excited about them. All of them have reasons to be really concerned. And I get the last wide receiver here, who I also probably like the best. And I'm happy with that. So Keelan Coleman, we'll see. I know, Thomas. I didn't get
the problem is trying to talk. The problem is what Keelan Coleman is bad at is what his position will ask him to do, which is play wide receiver. So I think when you have that as an issue, you know, his reception perception is obviously woefully bad. His ability to separate, not great. He's less athletic George Pickens, which we know how that works. If he gets the same push-off ability as George Pickens gets in the NFL, you're going to love him, but I don't think he will. So
I was listening to Matt Harmon. I forget what show it was on, but he was talking about Keelan Coleman's profile. Obviously, there's a lot of holes. There's a lot to be desired about, especially with his route running and his analytics. Just they don't look great. But put him into the NFL as a big slot and look out. I think that that's going to be so much fun.
The whole transition to big slot, that's for failed assets that you need to give a talking point to the media in year three, right? That's for the Treylon Burks. That's for LaVisca Chenault. If you haven't even played a snap in the NFL and they're already sending you to the washout retirement home big slot, like that's a bad sign for me. I don't like to hear that.
Yeah. So there were two profiles. There were two profiles that Harmon was comparing him to that got me really excited. One was Juju Smith-Schuster. Early Juju, if that's even close to what Keelan Coleman is, that has me really excited. And then also Amon-Ra St. Brown and what he's doing from the slot. Very similar profiles coming out. I'm not saying that Keelan Coleman's going to do that. I know it's a long shot, and that means that an NFL offense has to scheme him there.
No, you're right.
He has to accept that, but it's within the realm of possibility. And as Jacob always says, let's go for those wide range of possibilities. I think that he can get to being an elite asset.
Don't,
so
don't adopt me into your Keelan Coleman.
Yeah, these
I'm trying to pull you down with me.
No. You keep that to yourself. I don't have a lot to say about this pick. This is a very uncomfortable spot for me. I love Estime here, but I just think it's going to end up being a little early. So I'm going to do that thing where I just am going to play on the hopes that another quarterback sneaks into the first round at the end. Someone trades up. I know someone like Denver who went and worked out.
One, so that's
enough out of you. Denver worked out Knicks on March 18th. They've done a lot of digging. They don't have a second round pick. It has to be early unless they trade down and kind of get them in that kind of sense. So I'm thinking they're looking at them. I think they like them. The Zach Wilson thing doesn't scare me off of this. You get a potential first round quarterback, you know, like Bo Nix. Bo Nix is going to end up being our Will Levis this year in terms of second round quarterbacks. They often do fail. It is often setting money on fire, but in this case, I have hope. You put him with Sean Payton. I'm going to be in. I think I'm going to be in here if he goes to Denver. Mr. Hansen, your last pick of this draft.
Yeah, I'll, by the way, can I throw out a couple of names that I like that are undrafted?
Oh, as soon as this round is over?
The end, we're going to do a couple. We're going to do an honorable mention.
All right, well, I'm like a balanced person. I only have one running back. I've got, more than one wideout and a tight end. I'm going to pass quarterback here. I'll go Marshawn Lloyd, arguably the best receiving back in the class. I like guys who create on their own. I mean, he's got all kinds of jump cuts and ability to teleport on the field, creating offense on his own. I'm a big unblocked defender miss guy. Good receiver, as I said. Now, he's not a power guy, so, you know, might not be a great short yardage guy. He's got some fumbling issues, and, you know, he is a little bit of a bouncer, but I'll go with the PPR gold guy in Marshawn Lloyd, who put on a show there in Mobile, like him and Ray Davis, who was awesome guy, by the way. I didn't meet Lloyd, but I sat down with Davis. Awesome dude. But those two guys were far and away the best receiving backs. And that's really the only thing you could see at the Senior Bowl with the running backs is like their pass catching chops. I got vibes like I got with Rashad White a couple of years ago.
That's awesome.
I love it. And he's a yards created favorite.
Lloyd on this show. So he's been getting a lot of love here. Good. I'm torn at this pick. I was really, really hoping that Bo Nix would make it back to me, but he does not. I just for the record, I think Bo Nix is like galaxies better than Michael Penix. And I think he will prove to be a much better pick, regardless of the draft capital gap between them. That's just a guy who can run an NFL offense. Honestly, I think he's probably better than J.J. McCarthy, if you really think about it. Anyway,
Jesus,
all that being said, torn here between a running back and a receiver. I have two guys left in this tier, but I think I will go with the receiver. I've talked him up a little bit on the show a few times, so I may as well put my money where my mouth is here, and I'll throw the X up for Xavier Leggett. I think this is a guy where, you know, you're going to have to paint yourself a picture when you just have to acknowledge that he didn't do anything for 4 years in college. And that's not ideal. We prefer guys to break out before their fifth year in college. But you watch him play and you just think about how some of these offenses are trying to operate, where they're trying to consistently run these dig routes. They're trying to get the ball over the middle of the field in space. And he's just a freight train, man. Like, he's catching the ball on the move. And if I'm a defender, I'm making a business decision rather than getting run over by this dude who's up over 6'4", 220, runs a 4.39. Like, I obviously, the analytics guy in me sees an A.J. Brown comparison with Xavier Leggett, and I want to puke because it's ridiculous in terms of the production profile gap. But then you watch, and it's like, I kind of see what people are seeing. I see how you got there, even if I disagree with how you got there along the way. And also, I mean, of all these guys with these suspect production profiles, even if it took too long, at least Leggett did it, right? We have the season. 24% targets per route run, 3.15 yards per route run. All indications are that he has a pretty good chance of going very early in round two. I like Leggett. Of these like quote unquote trash analytical profiles with him and Coleman and even Mitchell to some respect, like just purely on gut call, like that's the one that I personally like the most.
I like that pick, by the way. I watched him struggle for a day in Mobile and I was like, uh-oh, but man, I mean, measurably better the last 2 days. Like, you could say he was the most improved player at the Senior Bowl. And then I didn't get a chance to meet him, but I did stand next to and really close to him. That dude is jacked. I mean, he is massive. I don't recall seeing DK, but man, he is big up top, man. He is, and I think the NFL world, they like him. So I see Brett has him in a first rounder. That's not crazy. That could happen.
That's what I like to hear.
You got to love a tattoo of John Belushi right on your abdomen as well. I mean, that just speaks volumes in class. Yeah, the picture I saw, it was John Belushi tattooed on his abdomen. I'm going to fact check that for later, but I'm going to believe that that's the case. And that's a swag vibe that you have to take into account, if true.
At least it's not Jim Belushi. No offense to Jim Belushi, but that would be weird. You know what I mean? Like,
that'd be a little different. Lucas, last pick of this here.
I can't believe you all set it up to where I get to take my guy here at 211. I've gained two of my guys back to back. I really thought that Jacob was going to take him.
But
it's going to be Jalen Wright. I absolutely love Jalen Wright. I'm looking at the analytical profiles between Trey Benson, Marshawn Lloyd, and Jalen Wright. All three of them, if you squint hard enough, look very similar. It's tough on the spreadsheet to to distinguish between them all just because their numbers are so similar. But with Jalen Wright has just stupid speed. I don't think he can be a 1A in the NFL for a committee, but I think he's going to be a really good number two. I think that he just has enough speed to create, and there are going to be offensive coordinators that are going to manufacture touches for him. He might, if he gets 10 touches a game, I will be ecstatic, with potential to get even more. He is good enough on third down to pass block. He can command some targets, so that also ups his end a little bit more. Out of Trey Benson, Marshawn Lloyd, and Jalen Wright, I do think he has the lowest ceiling out of all of them, but I really, really like his floor. And I think his ceiling's good enough, especially at the 211, to see a really solid return on investment. And another very fun thing, we're seeing some more running backs go off the board. I know if we would have kept going really late into third round, we would have seen even more. It's just the way that this is shaping out for dynasty managers. We're going to have a wide receiver run. We're going to have a running back run. And I'm going to say, make sure you're a little bit early on that second running back run. Get at the top end of that. You can wait for the bottom end of the wide receiver run, but stay on the top end of the running back run.
No, I like that a lot. I like the pick. I've seen him mock to Baltimore. I wouldn't be mad at it. I still think Benson is a future Baltimore Raven here in the second round, but that there's no way they're walking in with Justice Hill and Derrick Henry. There's no shot that's it. Running back's coming. I think it's going to be one of these top-end guys. Wright can be difficult, right? And I mean, as a Tennessee alumni, Lucas, I think you understand Tennessee maybe a little bit more than most of us. But you know they run kind of a funny money offense, so getting him in space like that, it's definitely hard to watch the film and see, you know, how he's going to operate a little bit efficiently between the tackles. But I think you're getting here at 211 is really, really good. I'm going to go completely off the map. I'm going to have, this is just a purely for fun pick. A friend, Alex, listener of the show, has been hyping him up. So I'm kind of doing it for him and myself, because if this works, I'm going to clip that part out. And I'm going to say that I'm going to put in that I had this call the whole time. Tyrone Tracy Jr. is going to be my pick here. Look, his Raz score. Now I know I make fun of the Raz card thing a lot, because when they come out, people base all their information off of this. But a 9.78 for a converted to running back, it's better than Deebo Samuel. Great contact balance, can bounce it out a little bit outside. Surprisingly, a proficient pass blocker in pass pro, which obviously is a big deal at the next level, helps you get on the field, can be a special teams guy as well. He's got the broad jump, which we know is one of the most important things for a running back, at a 1,004 that ranks at an 8.93 on the Raz card. I think he's fairly productive. He's a little older, but he's older without the carries on his legs. He doesn't have the same tread as other older running backs. Incredibly explosive. Obviously, I'm a big Isaac Garendo guy. I'm a fan of the absurdly large, unexplainably athletic running backs at the next level. I think this guy has a little bit of Antonio Gibson in him as Tyrone Tracy, a converted wide receiver to running back that's hyper-athletic, except Tracy can pass block. And the more, as I said, Alex has just driven into my brain that this guy can pass pro, and now the more that I've watched, I'm convinced he can be a next-level back. I have him as a fourth and fifth round pick coming up. He'll be a day three pick. I'm going to be all over it. It's early now, but we're only doing two rounds. Tyrone Tracy Jr. is going to be my hype pick of this. Like, I even got to type him in right now. Like, that's how good I'm feeling. That's it.
We're doing one honorable mention.
I'm going to say we're going to do one sleeper. We've been at it for an hour and 12. So let's give the people one sleeper each. I'm going to look through the comments while we do it and see if we got something there. So, Mr. Hansen, if you have a sleeper that you want to pump up for the people, now is your time.
Yeah, well, I'll go Jermaine Burton, who,
like that.
You know, the word is, like, I guess there are some character concerns. I did chop it up with him, and I got a vibe like kind of hard, a little hard, like in a Dalvin Cook hard way. I interviewed Dalvin. I'm like, man, there's a dude that hard. I mean, it's the best way to describe it. Not bad, but probably grew up in dealing with some tough environments or whatever. But I think he's got, a pretty intriguing skill set. Former four-star recruit. He's a good deep threat guy. I know the route running isn't considered great, but I did talk with him about the, Alabama thing there. They take a lot of pride in that. I just got a good vibe off of him just as a dude who's going to go out there and play some good football here. So he takes it very seriously. So Jermaine Burton out of Alabama via Georgia and won a natty there. So the guy's done some good things here in his college career.
I love that. I love that pick. You're right. A lot of people getting scared off by the off-field stuff, but we've seen that happen before and players turn it around, right? We've seen players that don't, like Martavis Bryant, but we don't really know until we know.
And yeah, we don't know.
Who these guys get influenced by at the next level is just as important as how they play. Lucas, I'm going to go to you, your sleeper.
Well, we've only mentioned one tight end so far, so I'm going to pick my favorite tight end, not named Brock Bowers, and that's Jaheim Bell.
We did have that question, yep.
I love Jaheim Bell. On the Devy show that we were doing over on Full Tilt, I got made fun of a lot during the offseason when we were talking transfers. And I'm trying to bring up Jaheim Bell. That's a major transfer, him going from South Carolina to FSU. He had an elite second year at South Carolina. The whole offense was just so funky his junior year. It took a really long time for them to get going. And he was still an important part of their offense. At FSU, he showcased a little bit different skill set. He profiles best as an H-back, but he has all the route running skills you want. He has excellent yak ability. He played emergency running back for the Gamecocks while he was still at USC Junior. So he has some very special skills. I think that an NFL team's going to be a stack to get him. They're going to find ways to get him on the field, and that is just going to be free value. You can pick him up super late in the fourth round of your rookie draft. You can pick him up in free agency after the draft because nobody's going to be touching him. And that's somebody that you can very easily flip next year for, I think, probably a late second, early third pick, or you can just hold on to him and have fun, enjoy the ride, and enjoy having a good player on your team.
Hey, that's great. We actually had a question I was going to go back to, but there we go. I'm going to ask John at the end of the show, but I'm glad you picked that up a little early there. Jacob.
Yeah, I mean, we've talked about sleepers on almost all these last shows, so I'm going to intentionally pick someone that I don't think that I've talked about yet. And I think probably the last one of these third, fourth round pick guys that I really, really want to click as much as possible that I haven't talked about. And I'm going to stay in the same offense as Lucas. And oh. Look up. I'm going to see Johnny Wilson staring back at me up at 6'7". Of all Power 5 wide receivers that are 2024 draft eligible, Marvin Harrison had the second highest yards per route run in 2022 because Johnny Wilson had the highest. He then gets transfer. Keon Coleman comes in 2023. He has more targets per route run. He has more yards per route run than Keon Coleman. And, then Harmon stuff comes out. He has a vaguely similar profile, just kind of a worse version to the Thomas Mitchell profile in terms of a guy who's been successful against man coverage, against press coverage, less so against zone coverage. I've heard people talk about it. Is he getting a converted tight end? I don't think so. I think he can play wide receiver. But I'll say this. Wouldn't it be freaking great if he did? I mean, if he got converted to tight end, there would be no debate to me on who the tight end two is in this class. It would be Johnny Wilson. So I think you're drafting him. If you can get him in the third round of your rookie drafts, I think you're getting a perfectly good value on the receiver. And if he ever gets converted to tight end eligibility, you're laughing to the bank. So give me Johnny Wilson as my sleep.
I like that pick. I mean, I like it. It's Tennessee, so it's always a little wishy-washy, but I don't know. But no, I like it. I like the pick. I like the spot. I think that's going to be very good. My sleeper is going to be Spencer Rattler. I think the NFL is going to view him a little bit higher than we do. I think that he can ball at that next level, at least as a comfortable backup who might Jake Browning himself into a situation and possibly start. I think that if you're taking late dart throws, if this guy ends up going in the fourth or fifth round, look, if we drafted the Hendon Hookers, if we drafted the Stetson Bennett's of the NFL, we're getting these guys that have an opportunity to play. I will be taking these guys late in my rookie drafts. At worst, I'm going to be picking them up afterwards. I was going to use Garendo again, but I think if I did that, we would lose all of our subscribers, which I don't want to do because I talk about that guy entirely too much. There's the draft, two rounds with some sleepers with Mr. Hansen himself. We did have a question here that I wanted to get to from Spence. So shout out Spence for coming back. But Mr. Guru, do you have a favorite non-Brock Bowers tight end in the class?
Oh, that's a good question. I am a Cade Stover person. I think he might actually be the first Ohio State tight end that, I don't know, I can recall who actually, you know, caught the ball. You know, he's kind of a complete tight end. I like Ben Sinnott from K-State. I thought he moved very well in Mobile. I think he moves better than I think people think, you know, more of a play speed guy. And Jared Wiley, man, he's like the fastest guy. He's got to be in this class. I forgot the numbers, but yeah, those are those. But let me quickly do a quick just a vibe check on some of the guys that I chopped it up with, like actually interviewed, that I didn't get a chance to cover. And these are lower end guys for the most part. But Michael Pratt, great guy, very friendly. We chopped it up about our boy Tajay Spears, a lot of mutual love there. Jordan Travis was really, really good dude. I liked him. I talked Charlie Ward with him because I was a big Charlie Ward guy. And I'm like, man, Charlie Ward, you know, if he was born 25 years later, he would have been a number one pick. And he agreed. And he goes, like, in fact, Charlie Ward's son was his roommate for 2 years. So he's very tight with Charlie Ward. I mentioned Will Shipley, three down skill set, very smart guy. Ray Davis was one of the awesomest dudes ever. Like, totally, like, the guy you want to go to back for. Dylan Lobby was like the least entitled guy maybe I've ever met at the Senior Bowl or Combine. I think that's about it in terms of, Burton, I mentioned. I loved McMillan, Jalen McMillan, very, very nice guy. I hit it off with him real well. I love that dude. And then Roman Wilson was awesome. I asked him about Brett Whitefield's comp of Tyler Lockett. I ran it up the flagpole, and he was fine with it. He was like, oh, yeah. So that's always a good thing. Brendan Rice was very nice. By the way, the word on him is a little – talk about big slot. That might need to be where he's at. A little sluggish there. Tez Walker, I mentioned in the chat, dropped everything at the Senior Bowl. I'm sure you guys heard that. But I will say I was – had dinner with a former coach that everyone knows who he is, but he said that he had a long conversation with Tez Walker. He said, the guy's brilliant for what it's worth, which, you know, hey, every little bit helps. And yeah, I think that's it. That's all I got for vibes.
I love that. Okay. I really do. It's been so awesome to have you come back on here. Like I said, the people in the Dynasty community have been asking when the Guru is hopping on with the Dynasty boys here. So this is great. I'm happy I hope we get to do another one post draft.
Absolutely.
Kind of see how everything falls, but we like to get a final word, something you're working on, a last tidbit before we get out of here.
I've been working on the initial rollout of projections here at fantasypoints.com. So, I've got some early takeaway. How about this as an early takeaway? Breece Hall should be the 1.1. Boom. Goodbye.
That's it. Love that. Woo. Hey, I like it. I mean, why not? The dude was so unbelievable last year with what he had that I think he earned that right. Over McCaffrey's it's going to be interesting, but I'll do it.
I'm an ageist.
Okay. Hey, yeah. I love that. I really do.
I'll probably just take a wide receiver. Like a beta.
The bait. Coward.
I actually think this might be the year to get that stallion at the top. Bijan, Breece, maybe Gibbs. And of course, who the hell am I missing here? And it's not McCaffrey, by the way. It's a little too early for me. Taylor. Who's kind of like not that young, but a little bit of a discount there. I think Hall, Robinson, Taylor. And by the way, for the first time ever, I was pretty much all wide receiver last year in round one. But I do think it's a huge tier drop off. I mean, when you're young, stud, versatile, maybe other than Taylor, 23 or younger, I mean, that's just so beautiful for me.
Love that. I love it. Again, we appreciate it very, very much. Truly. Lucas, Obviously, we have the live draft coming and you're traveling, but you're going to get it done anyway. Final thoughts before we head into the NFL draft.
That's great. It's an amazing time. As I was saying on the Devi show, whenever we first started doing that, this is the draft class that was coming in as freshmen, whenever we were starting it. So there's a little piece of my heart that's with this class, just following it so closely for so long. I'm really excited to watch all these players get drafted, see what their NFL future is going to be. We managed to get at least 3 Taylor Swift references in, and only 2 of them were a little corny. Tom had a really good one, and mine were a little forced, but that's okay. But going to be following the draft. Anytime you see Thomas on, I am probably either going to be backstage or watching on YouTube or maybe even on here with it. So really, really pumped. Can't wait to talk about even – I think there's probably 50 more players we could have talked about tonight. Yeah. And we will make sure to mention them before draft weekend's over. So I am pumped. It is a great time to be alive, one of my favorite times of the year.
I love it, man. Obviously, Jacob, you released something for Thinking About Thinking, the hottest Substack in the fantasy football space. Link will be in the description. If you haven't subscribed already, please do so. What do you got?
Yeah, I mean, I got that. I got my thoughts on the whole rookie class on Thinking About Thinking. You'll be able to find me periodically with Dynasty Points, our coverage of the NFL draft. And I think I'll be on a couple other spots, too, that you can find me as I pop up. And I'll make sure to share that on Twitter. But that would be the place to be, Thinking About Thinking. I'll have my post-draft stuff all ready to rock right after the draft.
Yeah, you're never taking a day off, which as a lawyer, I got to imagine is strenuous on the sleep schedule. But that's what we love about you. That's why you're the GOAT. Look, this has been a great time, a great show. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. If you haven't already, make sure to hit the like and subscribe button. Like I mentioned, helps us out more than you know. Boosts us on that algorithm. Leave a comment. Let us know what you think. Who's your biggest sleeper? Who'd we get wrong? Who'd you draft too early? Who did we not draft at all that made you furious? Keep in mind that we have the live draft coverage, live reaction draft coverage. Joe Dolan, Brett Whitefield, Scott Barrett, Tom Brawley is stopping in for props and bets to kick everything off. Post live NFL draft, Dynasty Points is handling the after party, the only party that you need to be at to get Dynasty relevant information. Remember to check in on your loved ones, even if you're not sure that they need it. Remember that clear eyes, full hearts can never lose in your best days. Well, goddamn, they're always spent tilted. Good night, everybody.